The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to The Trumpet Daily. You can get to the live stream, as you know, at our website, thetrumpet.com/live. And then you can send us an email, some feedback. We've been getting some good feedback from people that are showing off their new Trumpet Daily coffee mug. And I don't remember the website, but it's at our campus bookstore. If you'd like to order your free copy, maybe we can put that up later on this week. But as I say, some good feedback. You can send us some messages to td@kpcg.fm. Lots and lots to get to on today's show. One quick programming note. Remember that Monday, that would be May the 3rd. That's when we begin with our new starting time. It'll be 4 hours later than what you're used to if you listen to the live stream. I think most of you listen on demand at the website, pulling down the podcast or getting it delivered to your device. And so hopefully there won't be too much of a delay from what you're used to with respect to the download. But if you listen live, you'll have to tune in 4 hours later, starting on Monday. So here in Oklahoma, that begins at 11 or 11:05 a.m. in the morning. As I say, lots to get to on today's show. We want to continue our study through Psalm 119, a study we started yesterday. I want to follow up on the hand recount in Arizona. We've got some interesting updates to bring to your attention from there. And then also some clips and some commentary on Joe Biden, the fake president, and his supposed popularity. We'll look at that in just a bit as well. But I want to begin with this news on John Kerry. John Kerry, the revelation, I think it was an Iranian source, but it was reported in the New York Times, I believe just yesterday. And this is David Harsanyi's take. I don't know how you say his last name. In any event, he says, "We know now that former Secretary of State John Kerry isn't merely a critic of Israel. He's an adversary." It says, in leaked audio tapes obtained by the UK-based Iran International, as reported by the New York Times, Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif told a supporter that the former Secretary of State had informed him about at least 200 covert Israeli actions against Iranian interests in Syria. It says Zarif listened to this information in astonishment. Even he was astonished. Now, these are best buds. These are BFFs, Kerry and Zarif. But even Zarif couldn't believe it. This was during the second term of Obama. This was leading up to the JCPOA. Of course, John Kerry's the big architect of the worst foreign policy decision in American history. And now we know that this Secretary of State, if you can even call him that, more like a traitor. People have said, what does Israel think about this? But what about America? Here, this nation, this radical Islamist regime, with a 50-year track record of murdering Americans, of murdering Israelis, and of course saying Israel's the little Satan, America's the great Satan. And here is a Secretary of State revealing top secret information to Iran about Israeli covert operations. And I suppose that just will fall off the news cycle today, as you'll hear from Jen Psaki in a moment. Well, they've got no comment to make. Nothing to worry about here. Just move on. Move on to the next story. It says here, it's predictable, perhaps, that the Times glides over this remarkable exchange in a single sentence paragraph that is submerged near the bottom of the piece. A high-ranking American official feels comfortable sharing this information with an autocratic adversary, a government that's murdered hundreds of Americans, thousands. The number one state sponsor of terror, that would be Iran, regularly kidnapped them, interfered with our elections, and propped up a regime that gasses its people about the covert actions of a longtime American ally. What else did he tell Zarif? Yes, indeed. What did he tell Zarif? Now, we've talked at length in recent years, Satan's attempt to blot out even the name of Israel. That would be the United States, Great Britain, and of course, little Israel in the Middle East. Satan wants to blot it out. That's what we're seeing here. That has been the history. This is the Antiochus administration. Blot it out. As I say, you get the fake press secretary yesterday. She's asked about this, and listen to her response. Clip one.
In tapes obtained by the New York Times, Iran's foreign minister says that former Secretary of State John Kerry informed him that Israel attacked Iranian interests at least 200 times. As the secretary has shifted roles, he still continues to represent the United States on a world stage. Does the president have any comment or reaction to Kerry telling the Iranians about covert military action on the part of Israel?
We're not going to comment on leaked tapes.
No comment on leaked tapes, unless they're about Donald Trump. If they make Trump look bad, we'll talk about it all day. We'll impeach him, in fact. You call up the Ukrainian president and say, hey, you got to investigate corruption. Impeach! Impeach! And here are these leaked tapes. And like that journalist brought out, the New York Times just kind of rolls right over it. They make the revelation, but then there's really nothing added. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's right out there in the plain of day. This movement to blot out Israel. You know, you've seen it with all of the rioting in the streets, the point we made last week about how that these radical Marxist revolutionaries, they side with the criminals. And you see the same policy abroad. You see the same strategy and approach with its foreign policy. Well, we got to, if they're killing people, if they're murdering America, we've got to side with them. If they're a staunch ally, Israel, for example, Israel in the Middle East, well, we've got to work against them. We can't trust them. The hatred here for your own nation, the hatred, the contempt for America's founding institutions. They hate America, and they love, of all nations, they love the Islamist state of Iran. 200 covert Israeli actions. John Kerry revealing it in private discussions with his best bud, Javad Zarif, the Iranian foreign minister. Listen to the senator from Alaska, Dan Sullivan, what he had to say about this revelation. Clip 9.
If John Kerry told Iran, the leaders of Iran, about issues relating to our most critical ally in the region, Israel, who Iran has repeatedly said they want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, if he did this, he needs to resign.
It's worse, really, than that. A resignation, that's a no-brainer. He should be in jail. He's a traitor. He hates his country. There were the revelations a year or two ago about how he had all these communications with Zarif, with Iranian mullahs, their officials, during the Trump years. He was actively working to undermine the Trump administration. And the Trump administration knew all about it. Donald Trump called him out on it. But there's never going to be an investigation. There's never going to be any kind of punishment. He's back. I mean, he's the climate czar now. The fake presidency gets in there, and then now here comes John Kerry again. I'm sure he's got all this top secret clearance still, even though he's working more with the climate now. How is this man not in jail? How is Mike Flynn prosecuted on a technicality and harassed for years? And yet John Kerry gets away with this. And it's in the news for what? Maybe a day? Is that what we're going to see here? This is from Great Again, my father's book. You see evidence of that wrath in this violent world full of treacherous deceit. America is being attacked from within and without. There are failures everywhere, economically, culturally, politically, militarily, morally. The attack, as he says, it's coming from without, but right now it is from within. He says this, communists first corrupt, pollute, and agitate from within. But their final phase is a violent overthrow of the government. They aim to destroy the system because they can't build another one until that happens. So that's what their aim is here. Forget about Israel. We want to prop up Iran. It doesn't matter if they blow up Americans, if they kill, they murder and maim Americans. It doesn't matter if they kill and maim and murder Americans on the streets of St. Louis and Minneapolis and Portland and Seattle. We got to side with the criminals. If she rears back and is about to knife someone in the heart, we've got to side with her, certainly not the police officer. Satanic. What a satanic attack we're under. It's just like we've said. We've been saying it for years. It says, Bible prophecies make clear that even worse and more violent protests and riots are going to erupt in American and British cities. This will fatally weaken the nation and lead to curses of a far greater magnitude. Here's one from America Under Attack. If you look at the whole story in biblical prophecy, you see that Satan has a three-pronged attack. First, he attacks God's church. Second, he tears down the values within the nations of Israel. He tears down our values. And finally, he'll bring the Holy Roman Empire to destroy those nations in the Great Tribulation. This is like Satan's master plan. And his aim even now, as my father has repeatedly said, his aim is to blot out even the name of Israel, even the name. Victor Davis Hanson had a piece over the weekend. This is a few days ago. But he wrote about a nation's well-being hinging on only a few factors. And then asked, is the U.S. teetering on the edge of ruin? And really what he's talking about here is, as he sees it, what's happened in particular just in the last couple of years. He's writing about an America that's under attack. He doesn't put it in that exact language. But that's really what he's talking about. He said, look, the prosperity, the freedom, the stability that we've enjoyed, it's dependent on constitutional and political stability. Okay, if you've got a stable supreme law that's equally applied to everybody, and then if there's political stability, then you can ensure that there will be a period of prosperity, of freedom, and overall stability. But what happens when these founding institutions begin to break down? What happens when you have political instability, when you have a nation bitterly divided, when you have people actively working, people in government, people in Washington, D.C., actively working to undermine the Constitution of the United States, the supreme law of the land. And then you add to that the two-tiered system of justice or injustice, really. He says, perhaps most important is a first-rate inductive educational system. So this is important, too, to maintaining overall stability. The educational system. There's a subhead in the Great Again book, by the way. A foothold in education. My father's talking about this communist attack. The communist infiltration. And how that they got a foothold in education going back to the 60s and 70s. This is in Great Again. It says, in the 60s and 70s, America had many problems with rioting and violence on college campuses. Educators would ask who was in charge. And in almost every case, there was nobody in charge except the people who were rioting. This anarchy. It was a preview of what we've seen this past year. It says, soon the new left began to infiltrate these institutions and gain control. It was in the educational system that the left got its foothold into the nation. First in colleges, then high schools, and even elementary schools. It says, it's from the educational system that a nation gets its leadership. Where did the ideas of America's leaders today come from? They came from our educational institutions. Where did John Kerry's ideas regarding foreign policy, where did they come from? Where did he learn that, hey, we need to side with the killers, not the ones upholding the law, not the ones maintaining peace, not the ones that have been traditional allies, staunch American allies and supporters? Certainly not. Well, he was educated. I'm sure he's a very smart man and very ignorant and traitorous to go with it. This is Victor Davis Hanson. It says, of course, nothing is possible without general social calm, often dependent on a reverence for the past, history, in other words, and secure borders. It says, the ability to produce or easily acquire food, fuel, and key natural resources ensures a nation's independence and autonomy. Unfortunately, now listen to this. This is America under attack. Unfortunately, in the last few months, all of those centuries-old reasons to be confident in American strength and resiliency have been put into doubt. He says, in the last few months, that would be primarily during the fake presidency, the illegitimate presidency of Joe Biden. Joe Biden and his team, John Kerry, all of the Obama holdovers. And of course, you've got Obama in the background. It says here, the challenge is not just enemies abroad, such as China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran. Victor Davis Hanson wrote this before the revelation from yesterday. Of course they're an enemy. Of course they hate the United States. So obvious. We're the great Satan. We need to be destroyed. It says the greater problem, though, lies within us as we erode the inherited and acquired strengths that made us singular, both materially and spiritually, even spiritually. You know, my father, in grade again, he quotes from Mr. Armstrong, writing back in 1956, and he was writing about the communist infiltration, and Mr. Armstrong talked about the communists sapping us of our moral and spiritual strength. Tomorrow's news today, you are getting what Victor Davis Hanson covers in his piece. You are getting, if you're a longtime Herbert Armstrong follower and supporter, you were getting this back in the 1950s. Wow. That's pretty amazing. Here's my father. He says, in 1956, Mr. Armstrong wrote about how Russia was waging a new kind of war against America, a psychological warfare of propaganda, infiltration, subversion, demoralization. It's a warfare that has attacked our minds, our moral and spiritual values, rather than our bodies and our earthly possessions. It's attacked our moral and spiritual values, Mr. Armstrong said, in 1956. And look at where we are today. Look at what's happened just in the last few months. Victor Davis Hanson says, we're now witnessing a concentrated effort to alter the constitutional order and centuries of custom and tradition. The left believes that that's the only way it can retain its transient power, given the unpopularity of most of its current agenda. It doesn't have a majority of support. I mean, they can lie about that all that they want, Joe Biden, Jen Psaki. Oh, yeah, he's unifying the country. He's bringing the country together. Yeah, bipartisan. Breitbart had a piece where I think it was like 80% of America, 80% of Americans see the country as bitterly divided. I'll come to that later if I have time. It says, a nation's institutions are its bedrock, yet the Electoral College and the Constitution's emphasis on individual states establishing voting laws are under assault. So they're going after the Electoral College. They're going after states' rights. They don't want states like Arizona deciding, well, this is the way we should run our election. They want it all federalized. They want to control it just like they want to control everything from Washington, D.C. And then they want to work behind the scenes, undermining America's founding institutions, propping up dictators, authoritarians, killers, murderers. Even as they weaken the position of little Israel in the Middle East. What must America's allies be thinking? Well, I don't know if I want to tell our secrets to the fake Secretary of State. Because if they're going to tell it, if they're going to then go tell our enemies about it, how does this help the United States? How does this help America's position? Just looking at it geopolitically. When Israel, trusting you, tells you these secrets, these covert operations, where they're just trying to fight back against the number one state sponsor of terror. And then the secretary who served under Barack Obama, he goes to his friend, Javad Zarif. Hey, guess what? Guess what Israel's doing in Syria? And Zarif is astonished. He can't believe it. That's Antiochus. That's blot out Israel thinking. It says here, already gone is the 176-year-old tradition of a pivotal November election day. There's no longer an election day. Now it's an election month. Got to have time to process all the fake ballots. This is Victor Davis Hanson. Already gone, the 152-year-old nine-member Supreme Court. This is all coming under attack from the radical left, from the Marxist revolutionaries. Nine-member Supreme Court, the 184-year-old Senate filibuster, and the 62-year-old idea of a 50-state union are all being targeted by the new Democratic Party. And, of course, that party, like my father has said, has been taken over by the communists. It says, given that the last presidential election was hotly contested, that Democratic congressional majorities are minuscule, and that the Supreme Court is unsympathetic, the left seeks to change the rules to stay in power rather than adjust its unpopular policies. See, they know, what has my father said? All of this is showing us what they are willing to do to maintain their hold on power. That's all that matters to them, is power. They know their policies are unpopular. They know this is scandalous, what John Kerry did. They know a majority of Americans think that this man should be in jail, that this man's guilty of treason. They know this. So they've got to do everything that they can to change the rules in order to stay in power. If Arizona decides to do a full forensic audit, you do everything that you can to stop it. You go to court. You get your minions in the media out there on TV like Rachel Maddow on Friday saying, oh, the racists are counting the votes. Yeah, it's racism. Last year we had an article, America has been fundamentally transformed. My father wrote this. He said when Barack Obama promised to fundamentally change America during the 2008 presidential run, few people knew what he really meant. Now that he's out of office, it's becoming clearer all the time that the change he was talking about was something far more dangerous than many people assumed. He meant changing America from a constitutional republic. And what we're witnessing in the country today shows that to an alarming degree, he succeeded. He succeeded. My father goes on to quote what he said in November, I believe, of 2019, Barack Obama at this private gathering, and he was recorded as saying that, look, the average American doesn't think we have to completely tear down the system and remake it. And what he meant by that was that, you know, we've got to be wise about the way we go about this fundamental transformation, because the ordinary American doesn't think that we need to tear down the system and remake it. That's what we think. I mean, that's what we radicals think. But average Americans don't. So we've got to get our progressive policies in place in a more subtle way, but with the goal, with the aim to tear down and remake fundamental transformation of the United States of America. My father says the average American doesn't think that, but he does. And these donors do, the ones listening to Obama at that gathering. And he wasn't telling them to abandon that goal, only to be more underhanded about it. My father says, Mr. Obama is contemptuously and openly discussing what he meant by fundamentally transforming America. Now that he's out of office, he tells us what his real goal was and still is to completely tear down the system and remake it. And that's what he's working to do in these first 3 months of the fake administration. He's pulling all the strings. One of his celebrity workers during his second term was John Kerry. And he's right back in there. Valerie Jarrett, she's back to work. Susan Rice, she's back to work. Fundamental transformation. Well, Victor Davis Hanson goes on in his article and talks about the trillion-dollar deficits that are piling up, the losses as far as geopolitical strategic moves are concerned. He says here later on, the year 2020 saw the most destructive riots in American history, yet very few of the looters, arsonists, and rioters were even indicted. Most were never arrested. You got to side with the criminals, you see. You got to defend the criminals. You riot, burn, and loot, even kill. Kamala Harris will help bail you out of jail if you do get arrested. Most don't. But Kamala, she was Johnny on the spot trying to get those criminals back on the streets. That's the mentality that John Kerry took with him as Secretary of State. Hey, we got to get the criminals back on the streets. We've got to get Iran back in action. We've got to invite Iran back into the international community. We've got to load them up with billions of dollars. That's right. And then shock and horror, Donald Trump somehow got elected in 2016. So what can I do? Well, I'll still work with Zarif to undermine the Trump administration at every turn. That's what I'll do. And he did. And instead of going to jail for that, the election is stolen, and then in comes John Kerry, of all people. And now, revelation of all revelations, a leaked tape reveals that he was telling his Iranian counterpart all of Israel's top secrets given to the United States of America. And it's in the news for a year, or not even a year, a day. Probably not even more than a couple of days. What an attack. Well, we'll talk about the other attack at home, as we touched on yesterday, this election steal and what the state of Arizona is doing to get to the truth, to uncover the truth. We'll come to that when we come back. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Send us some feedback, td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Do you believe the United States of America has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Do you believe that America was at one time a great nation? The United States of America was founded on many biblical principles that were incorporated into the Constitution. This lent to its success and positive influence in the world. But the America of then is not the America of today. To anyone examining the current state of America, this should be alarming. It has been a great nation in time past and is experiencing a temporary resurgence in these end times, but it will only be exactly that, temporary. Our free booklet, Great Again, will explain America's status. It will prove that God has been intimately involved in the rise and resurgence of America under President Donald Trump. It will also explain why God is saving America temporarily, how he was doing it, and what is yet to come in America. There is a spiritual dimension to America's rise and decline as a superpower. This free booklet will explain this dimension and how God will soon make America truly great again. Request your free copy of our book, Great Again, at our website, thetrumpet.com.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
Following on our story from yesterday about the Arizona hand recount, a couple of our listeners have emailed me about this new judge. The other one recused himself Sunday night. He had an intern or something that had a tie to some Republican group. So right away, he steps away from the case. And in comes a new judge with ties to Perkins Coie, the famous Democrat law firm. How about that? Now, he's going to be unbiased and neutral. You can be sure. Wink, wink. You know what Democrats are up to. They're trying to cover up. They're trying to cover up their own criminal behavior. And that's why they're fighting tooth and nail to prevent this hand recount from going forward. This is from OAN. It says, on Sunday, forensic experts confirmed they are examining thousands of ballots cast in November as part of the audit in the Grand Canyon State. They're using ultraviolet lights to search for ballot watermarks and to weed out phony ballots. No wonder the Democrats are so concerned here. It says, additionally, auditors have been split into several groups, with some examining mail-in ballots and others inspecting ballot folders, envelopes, along with other related items. It says Democratic Party officials have tried to challenge the audit in court, and they're deploying their operatives in the mainstream media in an attempt to downplay the severity of election fraud, as well as discredit Republican challenges to election security. It goes on and talks about Peter Navarro, who worked for Donald Trump, saying that this is just the beginning. It's even worse in Georgia. If the Republicans in Georgia would get a spine and have the courage of some in Arizona, like this chairwoman, Kelly Ward, there's no question they would discover fraud all over the place. Listen to this Republican chairwoman, by the way, Kelly Ward, as she updates her listeners or her viewers on the latest news regarding the Arizona recount, clip 7.
The Arizona Supreme Court is also scheduled later this week to hear arguments brought by the Arizona Senate that interference by the judiciary in the management of the audit is an infringement upon the legislative branch, and therefore that's unconstitutional.
So as the Democrats try to shop for a radical activist judge to stop this count from going forward, you have the Republicans going on the offensive in Arizona as well, filing their own suit. They're going direct to the Supreme Court saying, look, this is a matter for the legislature to decide. That's what the law says. The courts can't meddle in this. The court, one judge out there can't stop a simple recount, an investigation into election irregularities. So she's going on the offensive, as well she should. In this next clip, I think this is from the same video update yesterday, clip 8.
The Democrats and their cronies in the media are waging an all-out nationwide blitz to discredit and stop the audit using propaganda. The Arizona Democrat chairwoman and others continue to make wild, false accusations of hate groups being used for the hand counting, that blue pens are being used by the auditors, that will spoil the ballots, and that the ballots are not secure. Untrue. The fake news media, though, is going right along with the Democrat spin.
Yeah, they're one and the same. The Democrats and then the fake news media like Rachel Maddow. Ah, the racists, the hate groups, they're the ones counting. This is dangerous. This is dangerous what those Republicans are doing. Recounting ballots of all things. This is dangerous. Conspiracy. It's a conspiracy theory. And she's exposing them as the propagandists that they are. Gateway Pundit had, it takes us back to last year. You remember the campaign rally that Biden and Harris went to in Arizona that no one showed up for? Literally no one. You had the other ones where there was a few hula hoops out on the ground and the people attending the rally standing in their circle, you know, with the double mask and everything else. But yeah, 20, 30 people. Meanwhile, President Trump was going back and forth to Arizona. Tens of thousands of people. You saw it with your own eyes, or you didn't see it in the case of a Biden crowd. This is what Gateway Pundit said. This is why it was shocking to see the results showing Biden won Arizona. In regards to Arizona as a whole, Biden was the first Democrat presidential candidate to win Arizona since Bill Clinton in 1996. Biden won the state, according to CNN, by a mere 10,457 votes. It says Biden also was the first Democrat presidential candidate to win Maricopa County in 72 years since Harry Truman did it in 1948. Yes, that's right. The man who couldn't draw one person to a campaign rally, he somehow won this county that's now being recounted. The first Democrat to do so since Harry Truman. Says Biden won Maricopa County, which is approximately 60% of the total vote in the state. But it's even worse than that, says Gateway Pundit. In 2016, President Trump won Arizona by 91,000 votes, according to CNN. In 2016, Trump won the state by 91,000 votes? Trump also beat Hillary in Maricopa County by 44,000 votes. Therefore, Arizona swung by 100,000 votes in Arizona as well as Maricopa County. The total number of votes in Arizona in 2016 between Trump and Hillary was 2.4 million. There were a total number of votes between Trump and Biden of 3.3 million. So 900,000 more people voted as well. It says the number of votes increased in the state by 920,000, nearly a million. This was an increase of nearly 40% from 2016. You know, it was a relatively modest increase. Fine. Population increase. Or maybe it was more of a contentious election, so it did bring more people out. But a 40% increase? Wow. It's astonishing. It says, but somehow Biden, who couldn't pay someone to come to his rally in Arizona, increased the number of votes over Hillary by 500,000 votes in the state, or 44% more votes than Hillary. This would suggest that thousands of more people were excited about Joe Biden in Arizona when compared to Hillary Clinton. He was just wildly popular in Arizona, specifically Maricopa County. It says the only way Biden could beat President Trump in Arizona and in Maricopa County was a miracle or to cheat. That's why the Democrats do not want a valid audit performed in Maricopa County. That's why they're so scared. See, either it was a miracle or they stole it. And if it was a miracle, the Democrats would be saying, hey, count everything you want. He's the most popular president in Arizona, the most popular Democrat since Harry Truman. Count it again. Count it 10 times. See the miracle for yourself. No, they're not saying that at all. They're trying to cover up the steal. This chairwoman, she's on with the former Arizona Secretary of State as they describe here what they're doing as part of this recount. This is clip six.
No, the fake news media wants to pretend that this is a Republican audit. This is not a Republican audit. This is an American audit. I call it America's audit because we are finally going to have the full forensic evidence to let us know whatever happened in 2020.
When I was Secretary of State, every 2 years, we would look at the procedures that we used in the previous election and look at how do we make it better the next time.
That's right.
And that's really all that the Senate is doing a complete forensic audit, which has never been done.
Yes.
The county's claims that they did two audits is a total misrepresentation. What they did was kind of like a logic and accuracy test that's done at one specific point in time that says the machines were working right then.
Right.
Doesn't tell you what the machines were doing 5 minutes later, or if somebody plugged in a thumb drive, or if somebody connected them to the internet, or anything. So there's not been an audit, despite the claims by the county that there have been two.
Right.
This is the first and full forensic audit.
This is the first real audit, in other words. That's the former Secretary of State. He explained in that exchange there how that the Democrats... They don't want to be a part of this. They just want to try to stop it in court. And the Republicans, meanwhile, are saying, look, we want everybody, Democrats, independents, we want cameras in the arena. We want everybody to see. We want America to see. And just compare the mentality to what the Democrats are trying to do. And then ask yourself, who is trying to tell you the truth? Who is trying to reveal the truth? And who's trying to cover up corruption? Who's trying to expose what happened? And who's siding with the criminals? PJ Media says there's only one reason the left fears the Maricopa County audit. It says, but the problem is that in a state where 3.3 million people voted, Biden won Maricopa County by just over 45,000 votes and barely won the state by a 10,000 vote margin. In mathematical terms, it would only take a fraction of a percentage of invalidated votes to alter the outcome of the election in Arizona. So this audit alone won't change the results of the election. Democrats don't have anything to fear from it, or do they? Of course they do. Of course they do. If this audit proves that a significant number of votes were illegitimate, then it will legitimize every other election challenge in battleground states where irregularities have been alleged. This article refers to the Rachel Maddow rant from Friday as well. It says Maddow's rant is a reflection of her lack of confidence that the Arizona election results were legitimate. Should this audit prove Trump the legitimate winner of Arizona, it will change everything. It will change everything. I saw a comment online the other day, too, for those that would say, well, this is not one state. It's not going to overturn the result for the presidential election. But this guy commenting on social media wondered, well, how maybe it will impact races that happened in Arizona for Congress, he meant. What about the close Senate race that happened in Arizona? It will change in the estimation of PJ Media. It will change everything. But as I say, what should a party that had this miraculous win, what should they be worried about? Why should they be concerned? They should want to tell this story and retell this story. The miraculous story of Joe Biden winning the state of Arizona. Breitbart on the divided America. It says, the vast majority of U.S. adults still believe the country is divided, despite President Joe Biden's vow to be a more unifying president, according to an NBC News poll. Says the poll released on the cusp of Biden's first 100 days in office revealed just more than a third, or 36%, say the country is headed in the right direction. Meanwhile, the vast majority of respondents, 82%, believe the country's divided. 82%! And yet you still have people from the fake Biden administration coming forward saying, yeah, he's a uniter. He's bringing everyone together. Listen to Chuck Todd from over the weekend, clip 3.
Because in our numbers here, you see that that is driving the overall positive approval ratings he has. And anytime you're over 50 in this polarized environment, that's really solid. It's sort of the new 60% of the way when you and I grew up in the 80s and 90s.
Okay, right. So 53% is actually 60%. It's the new 60. Why stop at 60? Why not the new 80? The new 90? I mean, this is the way it is in banana republics. Oh, yeah. Putin. Putin's the most popular leader in Russian history. He gets 99.9% of the vote. This is the mentality. This is where they're going. Yeah, never mind how divided, how violent our cities are. Never mind what's actually, never mind that Iran is murdering Americans. We need to help them. We need to defend the criminals. We need to tell you that what you see on your own screen, it's not true. It's just just believe our narrative. Look, this is a wildly popular fake president. The new 60. That's the propaganda media for you. It's 53%, and even that's fake. And then he says, no, it's actually like 60. It's actually like the way it was with you and me in the 80s and 90s, he says to his colleague. This is really 60%. This is what passes for news today. Never mind what's actually happening. Just believe us. He's very, very popular. Jen Psaki, by the way, she was asked about the administration's claims to, you know, to bring people together, to work in a bipartisan fashion. And listen to how she responds to this reporter who asked her, well, what about, you know, some of these areas where the country's divided and where the fake president hasn't sat down with the Mitch McConnell and McCarthy and some of the Republicans in Congress? And this is how she responded, clip 2.
I'm not sure the polling bears that out, but I will say that the president's view is that bringing the country together is bringing the American people together. So when I say he is focused on bringing people together, bringing Democrats and Republicans together, he's not talking about solving bipartisanship in this zip code here.
No, he's not trying to bring everyone together in Washington, D.C. No, no, he didn't mean that. He didn't mean he was going to work with Republicans. Come on. He's a radical leftist Marxist revolutionary. He just wants to ram his policies through. But just so that you know, the country, now the country's united. The country has rallied around him. And here, 82%, according to NBC, 82% of Americans see the nation as divided, not coming together at all. They're not together. Only 30-some percent think that America's even on the right track. And there she is with a straight face saying, okay, so we're not sitting down with McCarthy and McConnell, but look, we've got America. We've got America. And we've got all this support. He won in a landslide. Look at all of that. Look at the miracle in Arizona. The country is bitterly divided. Satan's working to blot out the name, even the name of Israel. How much longer is this going to go on? You've probably asked yourself that question a number of times in recent months. How long? Some of the prophets of old would pray, how long, eternal? How long? The affliction, so bitter. It's bitter affliction. And we certainly, in looking at all of this, shouldn't be putting our faith, our trust in some human organization or movement. Our trust is in God. Only God. Only God could save America. And of course, we know it's not going to be a permanent saving. You look at these problems. You look at how deep-seated they are. You look at the sickness. the sickness that goes from head to toe, and you see where it's leading. Victor Davis Hanson wrote about it. Look at these foundational institutions, these centuries-old institutions that are coming under attack just in the last few months. That's Victor Davis Hanson writing about what we wrote about back in 2013. America is under attack. Well, with the few minutes that we have left, we'll take a short break and come back with a little bit of listener feedback. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
A child is a miraculous blessing from God, an opportunity to build his family. In his word, God says to train them up in the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. But how should you train up your child? Most parents do not know. Most parenting books offer only limited help because their authors do not understand the purpose and potential of your child's mind. As a result, millions of children grow up to be hopeless without any direction in life. Many come from broken homes. Many do not have a home. This is why so many young people become delinquent, rebellious, and unsuccessful as teenagers and adults. But you can rear successful, jubilant children and avoid the heartache of an unhappy and miserable home. God has outlined how to rear obedient children in His Word. Our free book, Child Rearing with Vision, will show you how to raise children that follow after God's abundant way of life. It will help you build a strong, united family. It will help you bring God's love into your child rearing. And it will guide you through the momentous journey of preparing your child to serve God the Father forever. Request your free copy of Child Rearing with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
A few emails that have come in recent days. This one here says, as we see this country heading in a hypersonic nosedive, I have to remind myself it's part of the process God has for His aversion therapy for the United States. Hopefully, it will soon get to the point that the majority of the people will see there's no hope in man. This is what we were talking about just before the break. I was wondering if you plan to bring the bird feeder back to the show, as it gives some lightness along with the Bible study at the end of your show. It says, as we are swallowing this bitter pill of the downfall of the country, it's nice to have some sweet things to go with it once in a while to help us choke down the bitterness. So we don't have a bird cam on the bird feeders outside my home here, but I believe I still have access to the bird feeder by the bird cam in Edstone. So we'll try to bring some more of those images to your attention in the days and weeks ahead. It says here, we really do enjoy the bird feeder section. Thanks again to you and your crew for all the hard work that you and your crew are putting in to deliver the Trumpet Daily to the world. Another one here says, hello, TD. I listen to the program twice a day, once at 8 a.m. Eastern and 1 p.m. Eastern. It says, at first I was very disappointed with the time change, but I have resolved to listen first at 12 noon and then the next day at 8 a.m. for the second viewing. I learned so much from the program, so keep up the good work. Well, that's someone that gets a double dose of this program. Pretty amazing. You know, he's on the East Coast, and the East Coast time slot is pretty good. It'll be 12 noon, which may come right during your lunch break for some of you on the eastern coast of the United States, that heavily populated area. So, as I say, some will be a little disappointed with the time change. Others will probably adjust quite nicely. Another one here says, enjoying a heightened TD experience here in Saskatchewan this morning with our new TD mugs It really is hard to find the words to express our gratitude to you and your team for all of the work that goes into this program. It gets us fired up every weekday morning, focused on the most important topics. No matter what time of day it airs, we will find the time to watch. It's been a morning staple in this household since March 2020. So if you'd like to submit some feedback, you can write us at td@kpcg.fm. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.